What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 12. I'm one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
You!
And Tyler.
What up, Cowgirls? Man, did the Cowboys get destroyed or what, man? They got rope-de-doped and then some. Elliot looked like flat as a pancake. It was bad.
I don't know. What's more awkward in this game, though? Is it the Cowboys or the Colts? I feel like the Colts are one of those teams that can put up crazy points if they're clicking, but then they'll go some weeks where they should put up crazy points and put absolutely nothing up.
Well, what's funny is it's kind of the same team on either side of the field. We've seen the Cowboys go on a tear the last few weeks. Same for the Colts. We've also seen them both flop hard, and tonight it was just the Colts kept on their tear and the Cowboys decided it was time to flop.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a superhero named Neckbeard. I think Luck would fit that really well.
Oh my god.
He's got more than
I'm waiting for someone
at least.
Like, I'm surprised there hasn't been a Marvel character that is like just grows hair and like is able to fling it out of his like fingertips and stuff. Or her for that matter. I mean, you could have Rapunzel and just like whip people with their hair or whatever. But
there's gotta be someone out there. Come on, Drew, you're our comic book fanatic.
I don't know anything about Neckbeard, the
I'm afraid
superhero.
To search on Google either for hairy superhero.
That's called Bigfoot.
I'm really stunned there isn't someone now that you mention it. That is kind of surprising.
I'm sure there's something.
All right, speaking of superheroes, though, I have a couple in mind, and I want to hear your couple opinions. Potential, and I was thinking about going with this two ways. We could either do what superheroes would you draft on your team? Okay, but I think we'll save that for a bonus episode, so stay tuned to that one. So instead, something that was a little less time-consuming would be I'm going to give you a name of a Marvel character and then give you a player, and I want to tell me yay or nay. There's a couple that I have choices with. So, for example, like Spider-Man, that's either Adam Thielen or Stefan Diggs. I have not decided which one is which yet. Anyone agree with either one of those? Spider-Man, Stefan Diggs, or Adam Thielen, because everything sticks to their hands.
I mean, they did a commercial already with Stefan Diggs where everything sticks to his hands, and it very much made me think of that first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie where stuff just, like, was trailing from him on web. So definitely Stefan Diggs.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward Diggs on this one as well, and I think the commercial just pushes it over the top.
I mean, Adam Thielen he's made some pretty crazy catches as well.
Yeah, it's been a down couple weeks for him, though. And yeah. You know, I only know this because I was counting on him to win my playoff match last week. But that's not important right now.
It's true. And we got Flash as Tariq Cohen. Any disagreements? The first time I saw Tariq Cohen play this year was like the first or second game of the season. And the guy just, like, he'd blink and he'd be gone. He'd be off the screen. Because he was just so fast, and I was like, I want this guy on my fantasy team, and I didn't pick him up till like maybe the 10th week.
I'm surprised he was available that late.
Yeah, true, right? I think I'd give you Cohen. Cohen as the Flash makes sense to me. I mean, especially just the way he's able to get between holes. Like, he's just so quick cutting through that line and finding the right cuts so he can break away. So yeah, I'll give it to you. He flashes through.
I gotta disagree. I think Tyreek Hill is the Flash. No one is as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Oh, that's a good one.
I did forget about him. We need some sound effects with these superheroes.
Womp, 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 womp.
No, that's not... That doesn't... The Flash doesn't make that noise.
The Flash doesn't make any noise. He's too fast to make noise.
No, he goes zing!
No, he breaks the sound barrier.
Zoom.
That's the Mazda commercial. Do you think any of our audience knows what the Zoom Zoom commercial is?
Zoom,
sure there are people out there.
I don't think so. I think Mazda's, they have a different slogan.
What is our audience 12? I mean, if our audience
we have a
is
lot
our
of older
age,
people
then
listening.
They would know what it is too.
Well, all my high school students who I teach were all getting excited. And to give you, I mean, here's a little side story. So these kids found out I did this podcast that no one listens to. And so one of the kids said, Mr. Fabian, you do a podcast? He went out in the hall. They were doing a project. And no lie, less than 2 minutes later, another kid comes in and goes, Mr. Fabian, I didn't know you rapped on 105.3. And I was like, yep, that makes perfect sense. That's exactly what I said. So I mean, it just goes to show you that rumors go really badly in high schools.
That's like a really bad game of telephone.
That is, yeah. That was. I mean, it was like, wow. And so then I had a kid take like 15 of my cards, the OTN cards, and say, "Mr. Fabian, I'll be your new marketing guy." And so he started to pass them out everywhere, and sure enough, they ended up like on floors. And I was like, "Man, we got no publicity."
Thanks for nothing.
All right. Gosh. So I know that was a side conversation. So shout out to my high school students, Oscar and Danny Boy. All right. The next one, Doctor Strange, Aaron Rodgers.
Give us the why.
Why? Okay, he's the magician. He can go through walls. He can pretty much do anything with the ball, just like he can do anything with his mind. I mean, I'm not really too familiar with Doctor Strange. I'm not really familiar with any of these Marvel characters, to be honest. I'm not much of a Marvel guy, so.
Well, I just have to point out, The Flash is not Marvel. The Flash is DC.
All right, what? See, exactly.
I can't help myself.
We're sticking with superheroes.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just educating you a little bit. So some neckbeard doesn't hear this and decides that you have to die for mixing up Marvel and DC.
Should neckbeard be Marvel or DC?
He should be DC, and then like 20 years later, Marvel comes up with like Fedora or something as their version of neckbeard.
What does DC stand for?
Detective Comics.
Oh, that was like dumb class because like they're lower than.
Oh my gosh!
This went off the rails quick. We should talk about you're sports, enemies, guys.
You ready for the next one? All right, we got Professor X as the
Tom Brady
man with no soul, Bill Belichick.
Oh,
I would go Belichick on that one, actually. Yeah,
yeah, that fits better than Brady. Even Tom Brady's like Cyclops. Everybody hates him, but he's powerful. So then, who's Wolverine? Is Gronk Wolverine?
No, actually, Wolverine I have as Aaron Darnold.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Because the Hulk is actually Gronk.
J.J. Watt? Oh, okay. Yeah, Gronk smash. People do say that. I say that.
And I would say Superman is Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I can give you that.
I feel like the whole Chicago defense is like the thing to me. Like, Tyler, for not knowing superheroes, think of, like, the Hulk, but, like, a rockier version of him. That whole defense is rock solid, if you ask me, this season.
Isn't
they
that
have
Juggernaut?
Killed it.
No, what? Juggernaut's not made out of rock. He's just a big
Oh, yeah,
dude.
He's got, like, metal plating.
Oh, yeah, what are the Fantastic Four? Are they DC?
They're Marvel.
They're Marvel.
They're Marvel?
Yep.
Okay. I forgot about them.
They're just owned by Sony. That's not why. That's why they're not in any of the Marvel movies.
Okay.
But instead, they do standalone movies that are terrible.
All right. All right. I got Iron Man, either Big Ben or Antonio Brown. Big Ben, because the guy has just been through so much. He's just like robotic man. He's kind of old, but he still has the ability to like do crazy things. Antonio Brown is kind of like a younger version of Iron Man, I guess. Is there like an old and a young version of Iron Man?
You like Falcon.
Oh, yeah, okay, I can see Falcon.
See, I like Big Ben as Iron Man because he just keeps getting, like, new toys to use to get better. You know, new young receivers or running backs that just make him look good.
Yep.
I don't know. I feel like Iron Man's got to be someone else. Like, maybe Philip Rivers for me. Like, I feel like it's someone who's consistent but has, like, a cocky streak at times, so I don't know if Rivers even fits that.
I don't know. Maybe he's Captain America. He's kind of stoic and just does what he does and keeps doing it well.
Oh, yeah. Iron Man's definitely Captain
America.
Oh, yeah,
I would give it to Brady, actually. I think Brady's your Iron Man. Yeah, he's someone who's been out there for so long, but he's also cocky at times. He's got that like fresh cockiness to him, but he's been consistent. He's been able to get the job done. He's my Iron Man.
Oh, how great is it going to be? Well, first of all, that New England lost. Thank goodness. I knew they were going to lose two in a row. And secondly, how great is it when both Belichick and Brady leave at the same time and they just get... The whole team just gets blown up.
Well, I won't care at that point because my reason for hating them will be gone.
I mean, what coach would want to take a position after Belichick?
Yeah.
Way Belichick took a position after Parcells. I mean, when you look at all these coaches,
Parcells didn't do anything with New England.
True.
Parcells was the one who trained Belichick.
Yeah, but Parcells didn't do anything.
But I'm saying, as far as great coaches, when you look at great coaches, they train people under them, and those are the people who step up. You would have never had a Belichick without Parcells. It's going to be the same thing with Belichick here. The people under him will eventually step up into those new roles, and you'll be fine. They're not going to be as dominant for a few years, but the coaching will be there.
I think McDaniels will hang around to be the next Pats coach.
It depends how long it takes.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
I definitely wouldn't want to. I'm with you. I wouldn't want to follow that act.
Oh, I'm not saying you want to follow it, but at the same point, you're going to have coaches that are capable of doing it.
Yeah, what's the guy that just got fired from the Browns? Hugh Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, and now the Browns actually look good. It's weird.
Last but not least, I have Thor as Ezekiel Elliott.
Huh.
Any disagreements?
No, I like
I mean,
him.
if there was a hamster superhero, he'd be it. I mean, I think he's already in the commercial for the cube car, whatever it's called. He's already in that.
I think of
J.J. Watt as Thor, personally.
I mean, yeah, if we're going to get down to brass tacks, Clay Matthews is Thor. He's got the hair.
Oh, very true.
But he doesn't have the hammer.
Like right. he doesn't lay the hammer down like he used to, that's for sure.
All right, and that's your superhero rendition.
Okay, I got one more to throw in there.
We successfully alienated the sports fans and the comic book fans.
Okay, I have another superhero here, people. Aquaman. Which team is swimming with the fishes? Are you giving it to the Oakland Raiders in the AFC, or are you giving it to the Cardinals in the NFC?
The Raiders. The Raiders.
Neither. I'm giving it to the Cats Meow, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Really? Even though you were going to take them to the playoffs like 2 weeks ago?
Oh, I was going to take... I'm still taking them to the playoffs. They still have a chance. No.
I'm pretty sure they're
They've just totally blown up. I feel really bad for Doug Marrone. And I was on such kind of a... I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, who I gave praise to like 6 weeks ago, but no one listens to the episode, so no one's going to be able to check that.
You have no proof.
They have no proof. I'm like Donald Trump. No proof. It's all lies.
No smoking
collusion.
Gun.
Collusion. I just feel bad. They've just totally taken a downward spiral, and I never would want to be in a position that they're in. So especially losing to the Redskins, that's got to be the worst. If you lose to the Redskins, you're a bad team.
Who are on their fourth quarterback in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever.
I think the Cardinals is the worst, to be honest, if you look at them. I mean, at least Jacksonville has a defense that they can fall back on. At least Oakland still has weapons, even though they're making dumb trades and dumb decisions. When you look at the Cardinals, like, they have some talent there. It is just not coming together.
Let me ask a clarifying question. Are you asking who's going to finish worst in the league, or are you asking who's in the worst shape overall? Because I feel like that's two different questions. I would answer them differently.
I was thinking worst shape overall. We can do worst in the league, though. I don't know who they have left to play. The Raiders have the Broncos and the Chiefs. And then the Cardinals have the Seahawks and the Rams. I would say the Cardinals are finishing last.
That's a tough one. They're both going to lose both of those games.
Yeah, but I mean, the Raiders at least have a chance in both theirs. One, the Broncos are beatable. And two, the Chiefs should be resting players in that last game.
True.
So I think the Raiders have a better chance of getting a win out of those.
But I do think, Arizona is in better shape overall, simply because I don't trust what's happening in Oakland. They're not making any sort of intelligent decisions. Arizona's still got a pretty decent defense, and they have a quarterback. They've just got to get a little more something on offense for him, some people to throw it to, or I don't know. But they've got David Johnson, I don't know how much longer they've got Fitzgerald for, so they need to find him a receiver. But, I mean, there's plenty of pieces there. They've just got to find someone to put them together. Oakland's, like, throwing all their pieces away and going to go play a different game.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell Oakland's doing. I mean, this team was so talented last year, and you have a good young quarterback. Amari Cooper, yeah, he wasn't playing up to potential, but obviously the potential was still there. You look at the defense, I have no idea why you get rid of Khalil Mack for any reason. Like, the decision-making over there is just dumb. Like, are they trying to move everyone out before they head to Vegas?
Yeah, I think so. They're going all the way. They're hoping to be like the Golden Knights, where they just show up in Vegas and they just start doing well and get to the Stanley Cup playoffs. No one has any idea what they are doing with with Oakland. Part of it, I think, might be the new owner as well. The guy with the bowl haircut, I think. What's his name again? Bowley or something?
Juggernaut.
Yeah, who knows?
I'm the Juggernaut.
But this goes into... you guys went to... You touched two topics that I kind of want to address. One topic being Mahomes being sit. Do you think he has a chance of getting 55 touchdown passes? Right now he's at 45 for the Kansas City Chiefs. He has two games left, one against Seattle and one against Oakland. Could he get 10 touchdowns and could he at least tie the record?
I'm going to say Mahomes finishes at 60 or below. I don't think he ends up over 60.
Yeah, but 60 would be the record, wouldn't it?
Oh, no. 50, I mean, no, 56 65 would be the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking 55. So he ends at 50 then. He's going to get five more or less.
I think he'll get 53.
I think he could tie it. Just because I think he can put up a lot of points on his last two opponents.
He going to play?
I think he will, because I don't think the Chargers are going to lose, and they're going to have to win out the rest of their games to win the division. Otherwise, they're the wild card. The Chargers have the tiebreaker at the moment, as far as strength of schedule goes. That can change too, but if they want to win their division, then they have to win out if the Chargers win out. So I think they'll have to be playing all their guys week 17. And they're going to be looking to put up a lot of points quickly so they can rest some starters. And I think that's where he could do it.
That's a good point. I forgot they're still challenging for a wild card. So yeah, they're, I mean, he very well could. He's done it before. He's thrown six in one game and then four in another. Who's he probably going to throw six against? It's probably going to be Oakland. Yeah. If Oakland shows up. But, you know, there's no – with Seattle's defense, and now Seattle just losing to San Francisco, shocker.
That was great.
That's a big-time shock.
Yeah, but guys, remember, Seattle is still in contention here for a wild card spot, and they're playing it's the Chiefs against Seattle in Seattle. I really don't think this path is as easy as you guys think it will be.
I didn't say it was easy.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think he gets four touchdowns in that game, and I don't think he gets six against Oakland. I think he'd be sat before that.
Oh, I think it's a shootout in Seattle. I think this is a game where the offense is shining. I don't think the defenses do a lot.
Well, have we seen other than the Rams, which I don't even count the Rams facility as a, like, ooh, you know, their home field advantage. I mean, they have more fans of the other team that show up than the Rams, to be honest.
Sorry.
Can we think of a place where Mahomes is played in and that is difficult? I think of Seattle being difficult place to play in.
He's already played in Denver, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's had to play in Denver twice. Yeah,
I think Denver's tough because of the weather, not as much the fans.
The fans are tough too. That place gets rowdy, but yeah, the weather specifically makes it.
Like the altitude is and the wind are the two things that get me there.
Like they're all used to it there, but
New England.
Yeah, New England.
Yeah, they played in Gillette.
But out of all those places, I would say Seattle's the toughest place.
For sure.
I think so too.
So
I mean, I think Seattle's the toughest place in the NFL to play right now, even with the team only being like a high-end mediocre.
No, definitely the toughest place is Buffalo. So loud.
Are we counting the weather or just the fans?
Both. If it's snowing, man, and weather, oh, dude, it's crazy.
I don't know. When Seattle Stadium can register an earthquake multiple times, I think there's serious something to consider there.
Yeah, that is definitely something.
All right, this goes in kind of my next topic. The process or the bust? We know as the process, as I think we can agree on my two definitions of the process as going through the steps to building a franchise. Give you two examples, the Philadelphia Eagles. They got Wentz. They didn't tank, but they did everything they could to get Wentz ready. And sure enough, the next year he went to a Super Bowl. We see it now with the Chicago Bears. They went through the process of getting a good defense. They got a quarterback 2 years ago in Mitch the Trick Trubisky. And it sounds like a Trisket. Let's call him Trisket. Where he stunk last year, and now he's doing well with a good defense, and the weapons around him are actually playmakers, and a first-year coach, which I think is underrated. No one, I think, understands that. This is a first-year head coach in Nagy. And so they've gone through the process. Compared to the bust or the dumpster fire or the train wreck or the kamikaze, call it what you like, the Browns, the Philadelphia Sixers in basketball, Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck, and now with the Jets and the Bills, I wouldn't say they've busted, but these are the types of teams I'm thinking of when we say, all right, let's just throw everything into a dumpster fire or just kamikaze and blow it up and we'll start from ground zero. It's taking the Browns a lot longer to occur with this bust. And so with the teams that we were talking about, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, Arizona, and Oakland, I guess just the first thing to start with is, would you rather see a team bust or go through the process? And my second question to that is, what would you like to see your team do? If so, for example, if Dallas ended up busting for some, further down the line ended up busting, or maybe you can think of a time they bust. Did you like that? Did you not like that? I want to hear you guys' opinions.
It's really tough. It's going to be easier for me to talk about the Titans than it is the Cowboys. Just because the Titans have more recently just completely imploded. That's how they got Mariota. And that's starting to look very, very good for them. It was definitely a gamble, and it was a very painful season to watch. They went through a lot of coaches. They went through a lot of changes. Luckily, the fan base didn't give up. The fan base is still there, which I think speaks very highly of fans in Nashville. But boy, it's hard to watch. But as the Cowboys fan, when your team goes 8-8 three or four years in a row, you kind of want them to just blow things up and start over instead of embracing mediocrity and not gaining or losing any ground. I'd rather lose ground to gain ground than stay in the middle. So having been a fan for teams that have done both, I almost prefer the we're terrible but we'll be back and better next year than the we finished good enough, maybe we can find somewhere to improve to be slightly better than good enough.
That's a good point. I mean, Joey, you don't even have a team that you're like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan of this. I mean, Drew and I are passionate fans and live by and die by whether it be the Buffalo Bills, the Tennessee Titans, or the Dallas Cowboys. You, on the other hand, you don't even have a team to really – you're kind of neutral in this. And going back with the mediocrity, Drew, I think the definition of mediocrity, there's the Bills in that picture because they've just been mediocre for 17 years until they made the playoffs last year. So they have to change that picture now out of the dictionary. But, Joey, what do you think of this process or kamikaze effect?
Yeah, I don't follow a team in particular. I follow all 32, and the reason being is I like to win money every season on different fantasy things, and it's easier to come in with that unbiased approach. With that being said, I do have to agree with Drew a lot here. I think as a fan, if you come in and you can see that your team is making efforts, you can see them making developmental changes, I think it's a good thing. When you look at a team like Oakland, for example, they're terrible. You have the right pieces. You saw it last year. Why are they moving my key pieces to other teams? If I'm a fan of the Raiders, I'm pissed right now because there was all the potential for them to go back to the playoffs this year. But it's not happening. They're at 3-11, and they look even worse going into next season, at least at the moment. The Titans, like Drew said, now we see Derrick Henry actually being able to run on the field. I thought he had two broken legs for three quarters of the season, but no, he apparently can put up 30 fantasy points in 1 week, and what, he had 50 the week before? Yeah. Like, the man is on fire now. Where was this all season? Did they get a whole new lineman? Like, what happened? Why is Derrick Henry making all these points? And when I look at that, I'm like, okay, now if I'm a Titans fan, I'm excited for next season. I want to see them continue to improve on that in a run-first game mode. And then from there, maybe you pick up a few other passing targets and you end up allowing the passing game to develop because the run game's already there, because the run game is pushing the field. So for me, if you look at a team like the Titans, there's a bright future. If you look at the Raiders, they're getting rid of all those key players and it's looking really ugly. So in that sense, I trust the process of the Titans. I hate the process of the Raiders.
Just a note, the Titans were missing an offensive lineman who was a first round pick either last year or 2 years ago for the first half of the season. So
yeah, I mean, you can definitely tell he's meshing now because Derrick Henry can run again.
Yep.
So it looks like a miracle over there.
Oakland's getting ready for Sin City. But I can't put all my money in Derrick Henry. It's two games. He got 30 points in one and then, 40 points in the other game. Like, to me, I'm not putting any money into Derrick Henry yet. The teams they played against, Jacksonville won, and the Giants, wow, I think I could run against them, against their line. So I wouldn't give Derrick Henry that much stuff. And we have to remember that Tennessee made the playoffs last year. So it's not like they were just some, team kind of Nora. Yes, they've gone through the process. And
they had a lot of injuries this year too, though.
Right. Yes. But they've gone through the process. I guess they're my example of going through the process.
Yeah. Finally paying dividends.
Yeah.
I think one of the other key factors with this whole process is you have to do it on both sides of the ball. If you look at a team like Jacksonville, for example, they built up a very strong defense, but the offense just never got there. They're trading away key players. They're trying to bring new ones in, but they're not meshing. The Jacksonville team built a great defense. They have a terrible offense. Similar thing up in Cleveland. They built up a great defense over the last few years. The offense is not quite there, but now you have Nick Chubb coming in as your leader. They ended up moving Hyde away to make room for Chubb. You have Baker Mayfield as quarterback now. This Browns team looks like it has, I would say, potential. As I joke on my water, I would say they have potential on both sides of the ball now. When you look at the Browns, I think they have the possibility of scoring going into next season, but I think they also have the possibility of defending once their secondary gets healthy again. So the Browns, terrible team for years. Now they have potential of possibly making the playoffs next year. For me, that is the true process going all the way through. It just took a very long time with that organization.
Oh, Browns had no process. They still have no process. They got lucky with Baker Mayfield and trying to do something. They blew it up so many different times in so many different ways. They tried to do a kamikaze, then they tried to do a dumpster fire, then they tried to do a train wreck, and it finally meshed into one big chicken pot pie of crap that Baker Mayfield ended up taking the big sticker of because he finally won a couple games. They have always been blowing it up on the toilet for the last 6 years. There is no process with them going through so many coaches and so many general managers. They've gone, how many times have they haven't won, the last time they won more than four games was what, 2012?
This year,
I mean, other than this year, but since then, 2012?
I mean,
they've been blowing up the toilet for the last 5 years, trying to go big or go home, getting draft picks, and yet, still the Bills got more draft picks than them, first-round picks and second-round picks, and they made the playoffs last year.
So they truly embraced the tanking as far as that goes a couple years ago when they did nothing but jettison veterans and only sign, like, undrafted guys so that when the offseason came around, they could take a risk on pretty much any player they wanted to. Heck, they were able to absorb the contract of, what's his name that played at Denver?
Gordon.
No, the quarterback. Big tall guy who was terrible in Houston.
Osweiler? No.
Yeah, Osweiler. Yeah, they were able to absorb his contract and get draft picks for taking it, and still have cap money to spend on veterans. And if they didn't work out, they could cut him and not lose anything. And if they did work out, well, then great. That's another piece to work with. So I feel like the last couple of years, they actually took that tanking to the extreme and then have actually built up slowly from it instead of trying to blow up, rebuild super quickly, and then blow up again. Now, we'll see if they manage to be smart again this offseason or if they go back to blowing up, but I do think they've looked different the last couple years as far as what they've done compared to the years before that.
I think we can all agree that in order to be successful in the process is you have to have a stable coach and a stable general manager, and they have to be on the same page. If you don't have a coach or a general manager who's on the same page, you're not going to get anything done. You're going to have two chefs in the kitchen. That being said, there's been so many teams who've done terrible because their general manager and their coaches are not on the same page, and you end up getting rid of one or the other. And so that kind of goes with the process. Is you, if you have two people who know what they're doing and know what the outcome is and know what the goal of the franchise is, then you're set. You look at it with the Bears, you look at it with the Philadelphia Eagles, you look at it with New England, you look at it with Seattle, all these teams who have been good for so long. Yes, they have key pieces, but they've been able to have this motto of being on the same page, and their egos have not gotten in the way of each other.
So when do you blow it up? When do you go in and blow that team up?
I don't think you ever blow a team up. In my opinion, there's no need to blow up a team. You just need to have someone with leadership and to make sure everyone's on the same page. And if that person's not on the same page, then you get rid of them. If that player's not going to do what you've told him to do, all right, I can find someone else who'll do the job then. I don't think this process of blowing up, I think you can work with pretty much anybody as long as you listen and put your pride away. You can get people to do the right thing. This blowing up thing, I think, does absolutely nothing except for get talent. And, talent doesn't always win championships.
I think we have a very different definition of blowing up just from hearing you talk about it, because that's very different than what I'm thinking. So let's take someone like Amari Cooper, for example, someone who's had some very good years behind him but has not performed that well in recent years. So you're the Raiders in this situation. Do you like the idea of trading him for future picks, or do you hold on to him hoping he finds his old potential?
I'm not familiar with Amari Cooper. I'm not familiar with his talent.
So he was a number five wide receiver in the league for like a year or two. And then the past three seasons or so, he's been up there in like predictions from top analysts, but he's never made it up back to those stat levels.
Yeah. And so if he's not going to gel with my quarterback, I'm going to get rid of him. If I'm going to put more emphasis on my quarterback from a quarterback who can throw the ball, receivers I can catch, than someone who's not going to make a play for my quarterback.
Okay, so he has gelled with your quarterback. Let's go with this. Okay, Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger. So they've had great connections for years. Let's say Antonio has two or three bad seasons in a row, but he still gets along with Ben. Do you trade him or do you hold on to him, even though he has a huge salary cap? He's had that potential in the past, but he's had three bad years.
I trust.
Like, when do you decide to trade him, or do you keep him the whole time?
I'm keeping him unless he, yeah. I mean, I'm keeping him until I figure out, you know what, this guy is not. If I can find a better player than him, which I can't think of another player that's better than him. If I can find a better player than him, then I'm going to find a better player and say, hey, you're not getting the job done. It's a business at the end of the day. But if in my opinion, if I think someone can do a better job than someone else, I'm going to replace him. To me, that's not a bust. To me, a bust would be like, all right, we're getting rid of everyone. All right, we're just tanking for the year. We're sitting our players on the bench. We'll wait for a high draft pick.
And I don't think anyone's really done that. I mean, the closest one, you get the whole suck for luck campaign.
Yes.
The Browns a little
suck
bit.
Suck for luck, yes.
But I mean, yeah, either way, they were still playing starters. They were still trying to win games. They just weren't doing it.
Right, suck for luck was more just the...
It was fans.
It was a product of their circumstances. Yeah, it's like, oh, we suddenly don't have Peyton Manning this year. Uh-oh. I mean, that was it. It wasn't like, we've decided that we want Andrew Luck. This is where we are now. And the fans were like, hey, since we're here, let's continue to be bad. They didn't decide to be bad.
Yeah, and it's not like they benched starters to try to get the number one draft pick. They were still playing all their main guys, and they were still trying in games, and they had some close games still. It just so happened the fans wanted to console themselves somehow, and it became a suck for luck campaign. Not saying the general office of the Colts went that way, though.
I think we see this idea of be as terrible as possible in the NBA more than we do in the NFL. And I think that's because you get such a smaller amount of draft picks, and the odds of you getting a bad pick are a lot higher, especially with that goofy lotto system that they do. So I think you, because like the 76ers are a great example of that. They very specifically signed away guys, traded away guys, signed specific guys for mediocrity, or to be just good enough to make it look like they might be trying, just so they could get a few one, two, or three picks overall. And they called it the process, and everyone knew that's exactly what they were doing. you don't see that quite as much in the NFL. It's at least not as blatant, because you still see guys trying and you still see names that you recognize. They're not these obscure people that you don't know how they ended up on a roster.
And if you guys remember, the Eagles actually did something like that. It was probably about 7 to 10 years ago, where they had some good names. They ended up building themselves up and becoming pretty good. But then in the offseason, they signed like 8 or 9 free agents. And like half of those were on defense, half were on offense. Everyone thought they were a superstar team because you have all these huge names coming into Philly, but then they just weren't able to mesh together. Michael Vick might have been there for that. I just remember they signed like 5 or 6 big names on defense, and everyone was like, they are going to go off this year. And then they just never clicked.
Yeah, I think that was I think Vick was their QB that year, because he had played the last half of the last season. And people,
he might have,
like,
been.
Oh, he's back.
I mean, they saved up for years to afford that salary cap space to get all those guys. I think Asante Samuel might have been one of them that they pulled into right after he had a really good season. Like, it was crazy the amount of people they brought in and the talent that was there, but it just did not click. And I think it's harder to do in football. With basketball, you have 5 guys that you really need to click, and then you can argue maybe 6 or 7. But with football, you have to have 11 on each side of the ball at least. Like, it's crazy the amount of potential there, and it's so hard to get everyone to click.
So, I guess where I'm confused, maybe confused is the right word. All right, so Tyler, I want to see if I understand this. Let's think of, like, the Bills, they've not gone winless. They did make the playoffs last year, but for the last, we'll say, decade, they've kind of been somewhere in this middle ground of just slowly trying to identify talent, maybe make a couple moves that don't quite pay off, and it kind of keeps them where they are. Maybe they move up a little, maybe they move down a little, but eventually they're going to get to the point that it all kind of clicks and works, and that's the process. Whereas you have, like we're talking about, the Browns, who've had quite a few campaigns of 0-2 wins to try to get high draft picks to try to then immediately turn it around. So are the Bills the process and the Browns are the blowing up?
Correct.
Okay. Gotcha.
Ding, ding, as the bell would say.
I think then in that case, I am more in favor of the process than the blowing up. I would have stopped being a Browns fan if I was a Browns fan. It's been hard to be a Cowboys fan at times in the last decade. 2 decades, we'll say, actually, at this point. But there've always been moments of hope, and it's made it a lot more fun than just, well, we're terrible again this year. We might win 4 games, hooray. So I think I've come to the conclusion that I prefer the process over the blow up.
Now, we are running out of time, but I kind of want to leave this. For those listeners who don't know this, we also do esports. There's a couple of podcasts in esports in OTN, and this is for Joey and Drew, who are big esports fans.
Is a strong word for me.
Is not.
Aspiring.
Is it possible to blow up an esports team?
100%.
Oh, yeah. A lot easier.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that.
It also doesn't work there.
Maybe we're already there. We'll talk about that maybe next week. Not esports, but is it possible from there? So I was just curious. That was just a fun fact.
Yeah, I would just leave saying, I think the smaller the team is, the easier it is to blow something up, to completely overhaul it. Like, if you're playing 2 or 3 players, it's going to be a lot easier to turn that over than 24 players, if you're asking me. So the smaller the team, the easier to completely redo. At the same point, chemistry is where it all comes from. You want to build that team up over time is the easiest way to do it.
Nice.
Thanks again for listening, guys. You can find us on Twitter as well at CAMB Podcast. You can email us your questions, comments, concerns, anything like that at cambpodcast@otnmedia.org. We'd love to read them on the show. Last but not least, if you want to support us here at OTN, go to patreon.com/OTN. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next week.
Waka flocka. Yippee-ki-yay.
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.